Okay, today I received a report from Ministerial Services about the issue of ministerial accommodation expenses. I literally received it as I got off the plane this morning, so neither I nor my colleagues have had time to consider it. We intend to take a little time to consider this before making some decisions. When those decisions are made, I'll be releasing the report. I anticipate that those decisions will be made in the next week or two. Similarly around pseudoephedrine, you'll be aware that 2 weeks ago, I received the report on pseudoephedrine from my science advisor, Professor Peter Gluckman. I've read the report, but you'll appreciate it's been a very busy couple of weeks, and so I haven't had a chance to take any recommendations to Cabinet yet. It's my expectation that I will be taking those recommendations either to Cabinet next week or the week after, and in due course I'll be able to update you on those. A number of you will have seen reported comments from Alan Bollard. These made about the signs of the global economic recovery, both in New Zealand and globally. Let me just make a couple of points. The first would be Dr. Bollard's update on the global recovery is promising. Any strengthening in the global economy has a direct impact on demand for goods and services here in New Zealand. That said, we have a lot of work to do in terms of delivering the lift in productivity and performance that we expect from the New Zealand economy, and we'll be continuing to stay very focused on that issue. Many of you will be aware that at 3 o'clock today, the Select Committee Review of the Emissions Trading Scheme released its rather lengthy report. I have not had a chance to read the report yet, but let me make just the following comments. First would be, clearly there are a range of views expressed in the report. Secondly, we're now going through a process of trying to negotiate with various parties a way forward that balances our environmental responsibilities with our economic opportunities. No one should be surprised at the challenge we face here. Other countries who are looking at this similar type of legislation are facing the same challenges, including Australia and the United States. We also have the up-and-coming Copenhagen talks as a complicating factor, but it's my expectations we'll have more to say about the issue of the ETS in a few weeks' time. This week, as I'm sure you've seen if you've looked at the Ministerial Diary, is pretty busy. In my own case, I'll be in Wellington and Christchurch at various events tomorrow, including speaking to the New Zealand Manufacturers and Exporters Association Conference in Christchurch on Wednesday at various events in Auckland and on the North Shore, including speeches to the North Harbour Business Association and New Zealand Retailers. On Thursday, I'm undertaking a regional visit in Dunedin, including going to Fisher and Piperland there, and also Kiwi Rail. And I'm in the Bay of Islands and Northland at various events on Thursday and Friday. Friday night, I think I'm going to the Pacifica events out in South Auckland, and on Saturday night, maybe like many of you, I'll be at the Qantas Media and Television Awards. The House is in recess this week. When the House resumes next week, priority will be given to the Resource Management, Simplifying and Streamlining Amendment Bill, the Local Government Auckland Council Bill, the Taxation, International Taxation, Life Insurance and Remedial Matters Bill, and the first reading of bills on the order paper. Wednesday the 9th of September is set down as a Member's Day.
Vote for your significant support of the Partners Act and the Māori Party. Both say in this report that they don't want emissions trading scheme. So that leaves you looking to opposition parties for support.
I don't think it's quite as clear cut as that. I think you're right that the preferred option of both the Māori Party and the ACT Party is for a carbon tax, but I wouldn't at this stage jump to the conclusion that we won't be able to negotiate a successful outcome with our other with our partners, but also in negotiations with the Labour Party as well.
Do you think that they may fear that they don't agree with it?
That is possible.
So is that the basis of negotiations with, for example, with the Māori Party, seeing if they would move towards an ETS away from carbon tax?
Well, I think there's a difference between saying our preferred response is a carbon tax, but on balance I might accept an amended emissions trading scheme. There's a lot of different complicating factors in here. As I said, this is a very complex piece of legislation, and it's difficult not only for New Zealand but for other countries. You're seeing that in Australia and the US.
What would you be, or what would National be willing to offer the Māori Party, given that they're going to have to back away from the stated policy premium?
Well, I'm not going to hold those negotiations through the media. We'll be doing that directly with the Māori Party or the ACT Party, and indeed with the Labour Party. There are a number of options there for us.
But how on earth are you going to change this before the existing scheme cuts? I mean, we have an NPS now in law, and some sectors take effect in January 1 of next year.
Well, in fact, forestry sectors technically already started from January 1, 2008.
So how are you going to alter this legislation?
Well, that's the challenge in front of us, and I am reasonably confident that we'll be able to achieve a successful outcome. From our perspective, success is one that balances our environmental responsibilities with our economic opportunities. Our concern about the current legislation that's on the books is that it would have a dramatic impact on our economy. It would have a significant increase in the prices paid by consumers, and it will cost jobs. And I think that is the reality of what we're facing with it in terms of all markets, all gases, quite extensive ETS that's currently on the books. Now, National's preferred outcome is an ETS. We've made a number of suggestions that I think can actually advance the development of an ETS, which will be good for the environment, but be much more in line with what we're seeing out of Australia and other parts of the world.
Given that's made the scheme, and you're saying it's more than one cost jobs, it didn't go far enough to the Greens, you can presumably put those points out, and the other two don't believe in the scheme at all, so where does that leave you?
Well, it leaves us with some meaty negotiations, but I am, politics is all about, and government is ultimately all about compromises, and each of the different parties that we need to negotiate with have to consider what the counterfactual is if they hold the line on their position. In the case of Labor, they might force us into a position where there's no ETS. In the case of the Māori Party, they've got to consider their wider constituency, which has a real vested interest, actually, in certain cases, in an ETS that works. There's a lot of different options there. In the case of the ACT Party, they have to consider whether they want to leave us saddled with, the ETS that's currently on the books.
Well, you can get this done by Christmas. You can get this law changed or the new scheme in place by January 1.
The Dom Post fighting it out. One's the Dom and one's the Post. Okay, Post, I'll take you first.
So, are you confident that you can have this done by January 1?
I'm hopeful that would be the way I'd get it.
Does the National Party consider, or would it be open to consider, carbon credits or exemption for Māori foresters, maybe as part of a negotiation or deal for their support?
Well, as I say, I'm not going to hold those negotiations through the media, but I think it's quite clear that Māori have some significant interests in this issue, and not just in forestry, but of which they have quite significant interests, particularly if you look at the CNI deal, but also in terms of fisheries. Our ETS, proposed ETS scheme is much more generous to the fisheries, where Māori have significant interests. Agriculture is another area where they have significant interests. Quite a number of their people employed in industrial processes where, if the scheme's not well developed, they could lose their job. There's a lot of people that need to consider their position here.
Do you see any argument that Māori land or Māori forest, for example, settled 10, 20 years ago, their value wouldn't be the same because of the ETS? Is that something that you'd be taking into consideration?
Well, there's an argument that's been put up. I mean, there's a whole lot of different factors there. Good, the deputy is one of the editors. Okay, quite an afternoon.
Did you take it as an encouraging sign that the Māori Party tried to pull their minority report, a sign that perhaps that they're open to negotiations?
I think that's a possibility. As I said, the Select Committee report, and I haven't read it, but my understanding is that it outlines the preferred position. As I said earlier, government is ultimately all about compromise.
So would support from the Māori Party be your preference as opposed to striking a deal with Labor?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think there are some advantages if a deal was possible with Labor in terms of the two larger parties also being on the same page, but whether that's possible, I don't know.
So you'd still be open to doing that in terms of going to the opposition and saying, look, basically we need help. If you can't get support from the other two, that would still be an avenue you go down?
Well, my understanding is that there's been quite extensive discussions held in recent months between Nick Smith and Charles Travell. Like any negotiation, some days are better than others, but let's just see where it ends up.
Do you think there's some parts of a protected dock estate that should be mined?
Well, I don't want to jump to that conclusion yet. I mean, the Minister of Energy and Resources has asked for a stocktake of what's in Schedule 4. I think that makes sense. It may well be that some of that what's in the Schedule 4 is actually quite low quality conservation estate. and there might be possibilities there, but that's a long way away from just having a stock take.
Is it true that Labor was moving land onto their sort of at will in the last 9 years? Have you looked at those numbers?
That's an assessment of some people. I'd also make the point, though, however, that under the Labor government, a concession was given for mining and conservation land when Pike River got their concession. So it's not impossible, it's the process that you go through. Now, I think there would be an acceptance that some conservation land is more important than others. As Minister of Tourism, I'm not going to do something silly with the dock estate. I recognise the importance of that to the New Zealand economy. But on the other side of the coin, let's just understand what we're dealing with and what the issues are. Modern mining is quite different from what we've seen in the past. It's, you know, old-fashioned mining techniques did leave a scar on the landscape. Modern mining techniques are quite different.
But you don't go for a stock take unless you want to move something forward and open land up, do you? And you don't review something.
I wouldn't jump to conclusions. I think the Minister, rightfully so, has asked for a stock take so that people can understand what's there, where it is, and what land it's actually contained.
Well, everyone knows where it is because it's been reviews done for years. People have done last year, pointed out there's goals that got everywhere, basically, in pristine parks like Kahurangi, like the Coromandel. I mean, those two sensitive areas would you like to see opened up, Kahurangi,
well,
and Coromandel?
Let's have the stock take, yes.
Well, would you say those areas are off limits then?
As I said, let's have the stock take. Let's go through the right process here.
But presumably what you're looking at is the fact that we're sitting on $140 billion worth of minerals, and we could be like Australia, we could be the lucky country.
Well, that's something that's worthy of consideration. Now, all of the aspects of that need to be considered. The first step is let's just understand what it is we think we might have, and where it is, and what the implications of that are. I wouldn't want to advance any discussion beyond that point.
Could you explain what surgical mining is?
Well, if you go and have a look at the Pike River, I looked at Pike River personally some time ago when I was leader of the opposition. It's not an open cast mine. It's a bitch, you can't even tell it there. They've got a road in, they're going in through, you know, to the seam of the coal. It's going to be a very productive mine over time and a very valuable resource for New Zealand. Now, that is very different from what the old mining techniques were.
So you think that conservation could sit side by side with a surgical mine, say?
Well, in that case it has, because that is, they have got a concession through the dock estate.
That's just some snails.
Yeah, apparently. Although that was largely more in Stockton, I think, actually, than Pike River, to be honest.
Just on your ETS legislation, when you say you can have ready by Christmas, are you talking about having it passed in full before January 1?
I don't think I said it would be ready by Christmas. I think that would be my hope, that we would be able to do something. Certainly we need to address the position that left unchecked, whatever happens, the legislation for stationary energy and industrial processes is starting on January 1, 2010. Sure. So either that will happen on January 1, 2010, or some legislation will need to be passed that alters that. My understanding is it would be very difficult to actually start on January 1, 2010, whatever the preferred outcome is.
So you're talking about delaying it?
Well, I'm just saying it's very difficult at that point. But let's have negotiations, let's see where we end up. I'm much more focused on the bigger picture of what the outcome is than something that's happening theoretically in 3 or 4 months' time.
So you might put up to his ballpark as an idea that you suspend it?
Well, a start date of January 1 is very difficult. That's the advice I've had. Now, we are focused on trying to get an outcome. An outcome that's enduring, not this for something 3 or 4 months. Yeah, but the real preference, though, is to try and get an outcome which deals with this issue. Because I think consumers and business actually want some sort of sense of security about what's happening, a sense of predictability in the future. So the real aim here is to get a permanent outcome where there's broader consensus as we can achieve.
So whatever legislation you introduce, will that go to a select committee? Is it possible within 3 months, which is effectively all you've got there, to frame some legislation, get agreement, have it go to a meaningful select committee process, and come back into the House and be passed by January 1?
I can't answer that question, I don't know.
Well, Labor says it's happy to have the stationary energy and industrial processes delayed by 6 months, but yep. The rest stay. I mean, Is that an option?
That's potentially an option.
I'm really weighty issues.
So you ran for the door then?
There's a Christchurch Park band that is performing at Penelope Lally's celebrations.
Right. Really? Interesting choice of gig.
Are the SAS in Afghanistan?
Look, I'm not in a position to comment on that.
What would the deployment be, only to Afghanistan? Or is it possible it would be across the border in Pakistan? And
no.
Let the public know about it?
Well, I'm just not going to make comments on the operational.
Yes. You said some weeks or months ago that you would tell us when they were here. Is that still your position?
At some point, I'll make some comments.
So it's possible that they will go across into Pakistan?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to jump to conclusions there.
Opposition Prime Minister Judith Collins made a lot of comments critical of the last government, and Nancy Wake hadn't received any honours. She hasn't received any this year. What's the government's position on Nancy Wake now?
The Minister has raised that personally with me, and we are considering that issue. We have, if that was to be the case, and an honour was to be bestowed on Nancy Wake, then that would be a decision that would be made for the Chris New Year's honours list, and we considered those effectively. The Appointments and Honours Committee is due to meet soon and start considering those honours for anyone that might be having an honour bestowed on.
Would you support her being
honoured? Well, she's obviously a remarkable person that achieved incredible things. There's always been a reluctance for a variety of reasons, and it's quite a finely balanced debate, but it's fair to say that the Minister has been very vigorous in her support.
You say you don't want to jump to conclusions about Pakistan. Have you been approached by somebody, by the Americans, to go to Pakistan?
No, I haven't. No,
you just don't want to jump to conclusions. Does that mean it's...
Well, as a general rule, I'm just not getting into discussions about operational matters. That's why I wouldn't jump to conclusions. Just because I don't answer a question means that doesn't mean that they're going to Pakistan.
Chris Carter's calling on the government to take urgent action to save the Centre for New Zealand Studies in the UK. Do you have a position on that?
I've seen his press release, but I haven't had an update on it. You need to take it up with him. Okay, thanks very much.